That's the Megiddo, yes. And slide back the one before. The one before. Yes, that's the Jerusalem. There's the Dome of Rock. Okay, next, let's go back to the Wailing Wall. I was standing at the Western Wall, and this Jewish people, very much religious people, and they're standing against this wall, bouncing back and forth, and they're reciting the Torah. I don't think there is any more religious people than these people and the Arab people in the wall. They are very, very religious. However, they do not have one true God, Jesus Christ, in their heart. And my heart was aching for them because they have a religion, but yet they do not have a relationship. And they are not regenerated from inside. Next slide, please. Okay, it's hard to make of it. See, this is my feet. It's not. I didn't take a picture because my feet are so pretty. And in the gospel says, beautiful are the feet that carry the good news. However, I'm standing on top of the stone. This is the stone. And see the stripes? That's the traction. What it is how many of you guys remember Via Della Rosa? It's all known as, what is the street that led Jesus Christ to the Golgotha. Okay, however, that is two levels above actual pavement of the Jesus went on. So what our tour guide did, he took us down to the basement that showed the one side is smooth paved stone, the other side is a traction stone. This is the main street. The other side is sidewalk. So I stood on top of this street that there might be right above my head was the Via Della Rosa. So I was stood on the street, the actual street that Jesus walked on, so I took a picture of that. All right, next slide, please. This is the olive tree. This place is known as Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane means wine pressed. Throughout all the trips, entire tour, this is one place that really touched my heart. One of the places. Because this is the place where Jesus agonized. He went through agony because he was 100% human, 100% God. As a human, he was facing this tremendous torture and crucifixion. I don't want to go through crucifixion. However, same time, he was 100% God, so he knew that he would face isolation from the Father. All the sin, your sin, my sin, past sin, future sin, present sin, will be falling upon his shoulder. He will be called the sinner of the mankind. And he took our sin. So he was agonizing that time, and he said, not my will, but your will be done. This is the place he shared his heart to Father in heaven. Next slide, please. This is the garden tomb. Somehow they cannot find the rolling stone. It's not that kind of rolling stone. This actual height is about yay tall. And this is the addition because it crumbled. And this is known as soul window. This is just the other side that I accidentally didn't put the sequence in the correct way. The other slide you will see is the Golgotha. This is the other side of Golgotha. And let's go back there. This place right here is a kind of three chambers. When you walk in, there's a kind of corridor, and on the right side is a little vacant area. On the left side is vacant, and the other right side is vacant too. However, on the right side, where in the back, that's where the Jesus laid. If you're standing right here, back, please. I'm not done yet. Thank you. Stay there, please. If you stand right here, you cannot see anything inside because it's dark without that known as soul window. It is Jewish myth that when the person died, the soul will leave and their soul had to get out. so the front will be closed with a stone, 1-ton stone. So they opened up this little area. However, when the sun hits, that drops into the area where the person would be lying there. Now, that person would be lying there. That area was kind of about yet tall. So this place is made for somebody else, and they were going to lay down this person, and they realized it's a little too short. So they carved a stone a little extra. So it was not, that tomb is not made for that person. We find out in the book of Matthew and the other Gospels, this tomb was belonged to the rich person, Joseph. And he gave this to the Jesus Christ, never been used. So Jesus was lying there. And when the light hit, the sunlight hit through this and hitting where Jesus would have been lying down. And from the outside, they can, without going inside, they can see where Jesus has been lying down. Okay, next slide, please. It's kind of out of proportion. It's hard to tell now. Can you see the skull? Okay, probably not, because somehow its configuration is wrong. Here's the eyebrow. Here's another eyebrow. Here's a nose. And there's the end of the nose. You see it? It's hard to see it. This is Golgotha. This is right outside the gate. When the Roman people do the capital punishment, the crucifixion, they don't put it in the way somewhere that nobody can see. They want the people to see this. They want the people to see this crucifixion, and they leave the dead body until it rots. And this is the area where a lot of traffic, human traffic is going around, so the people can see. And right behind this Golgotha, this side is a garden tomb. So they could take the body down and put it in the garden tomb, and right before the sundown of the Sabbath, before the Sabbath to happen. Do you know what I'm saying? All of a sudden, the Bible comes alive. This tremendous trip. All right, thank you. Let's start. It was a great experience for my wife and I to visit Israel last 9 days. By the way, if you don't have a Bible, would you raise your hand? Keep your hands up. Anyone else? Okay. During our trip, we spent 5 days and 4 nights in Jerusalem, and our tour bus was climbing up to the hills that led us from the Sea of Galilee to Jerusalem. As we climbing up to Jerusalem, and this is what we saw. Would you put the slide up, please? Slide up. Do you see Jerusalem over there? Anyway, it was the most emotional time, because what I see is this view, and there is a Dome of Rock, Temple Mount, and of course the bus driver right on cue, they were playing the music called Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And as I see this Jerusalem entire view, and the Holy Spirit reminded me of Matthew chapter 23 verse 37, Jesus crying out in his heart, he said, "Oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who killed the prophet and stoned those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as the hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you are not willing." The city of Jerusalem is the most controversial city in the world, no doubt, because whatever happened in the city end up in as a headline of the major networks news on the 6 o'clock. And media around the world, majority of city, majority nations around the world hate Israel and hate Jews. For whatever reason, of course, we know why. Because Satan is behind this. Jerusalem is a unique city. It's divided into two sectors. One is a Jewish sector, the other one is the Arab sector. If you're Arab descendant, I'm not against anything against you, but this is what I observed. So I'm making an apology in advance. However, this one, my observation is that when I went to the Arab sector, it was filthy dirty, just plain filthy dirty. However, when I went to the Jewish sector, it was very clean and neat. I don't know why. And from what I learned, Jerusalem has lowest crime rate in the per capita as a capital city of the nation around the world. The reason why I found that is because of the presence of police and the military commanders all over the city. As a matter of fact, we were very safe. If you are concerned that you don't want to go to Israel trip because all the things happening, actually the things happen in Gaza Strip is 50 miles away from Jerusalem. So you are rather safe. I was not bothered by anyone, and we enjoyed our time tremendously. This is the current Jerusalem. However, we are going to study the new Jerusalem that will come down from the heaven that is created by God himself for the saints in the world, around the world. And we find in chapter 21 of the book of Revelation. Open there and we will pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word we are about to receive. We are asking for your anointing to be upon your word and the one who speaks. And please forgive our sins. We are asking you the word to go forth and change our heart. And we also lift up our troops and law enforcement around our communities. We are asking you to protect them, keep them safe. And again, we come to you to receive your word. To receive your instruction. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 21 of Revelation. Now I saw on the line the new heaven and new earth. Please, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away. Also there was on the line no more sea. Verse 2. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. We are going to have a glimpse of our new home in heaven, and then we'll come down. That's known as the New Jerusalem. The idea of new earth and new heaven and the sky is a familiar theme throughout the scripture. See, it's been known to the Old Testament prophet that we will receive new heaven and new earth. We find in chapter 65 of Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17. God wants us to have a new, brand new start because the earth and the surrounding area has been polluted and destroyed by the during the time of the tribulation. Isaiah 65, are you there? Don't say, honey, U-turn. No, U-turn too, please. Guys have a tendency to say, no, I don't want to turn. I don't like the way preachers talk. 65:17 in Isaiah. Behold, I create a new heavens and new earth. And former shall not be remembered or come to mind. Some of the respected Bible scholars or the students claim that this is the new heaven and new earth out of from the old heaven and old earth. However, I disagree. Even though I respect their opinion, I disagree. Why? Because I don't believe God will try to salvage what's old. to prove my point, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, please. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter is right before the 1 John of the New Testament. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Are you there yet? Okay. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heaven will pass away as a with a great noise, and an element will melt with a fervent heat. Underline that, please. And this is the great place to remember. Why? Because a lot of people from the Jehovah's Witness, they say that they're going to live on this earth forever. And ask them, where are you going to live on this earth when this heaven and earth will be melt away with a fervent heat? They won't be able to stay. Let's continue. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heaven will be dissolved, being on fire, and the element will melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and new earth in which righteousness dwells. So I believe that this God will not try to salvage the old earth and old heaven, but however, he's going to create brand new earth, brand new heaven. That's what we are going to learn today. To Jewish mind, the sea always represents as isolation and as separation and evil. In Revelation chapter 4, chapter 13, we learn that the sea is the one who allowed the beast to come out. In Revelation chapter 20, sea is the one who gave up the death. So they believed it is, Jewish people believed it is not a good place. So we don't see the sea in the new heaven and new earth. Let's continue in verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying that, behold, tabernacle of God is with me. Underline next phrase, please. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. He, God himself, will be with them and be their God. And God will, underline next phrase again, wipe away every tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, and there shall be no more pain, for former things have passed away. The most important thing about this city is that God is going to dwell with the people. And God, Bible gives us a lot of things about the God's dwelling presence throughout the Bible, from the Genesis. During the Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, remember? In the cool of day, that Adam walked with God, and God dwelt with them. During the Old Testament, while they were wandering around the wilderness for 40 years, what did God do? He dwelt with them in the tabernacle, later in temple. And after Jesus ascended to heaven, and the Holy Spirit coming into our heart, the believer's heart, and he dwelt in our heart. So if you're a born-again Christian, guess what? Each one of you have God in your heart. Amen. You are not God. Let's make that thing very clear. You are not God. So don't claim that you are God. If you claim that you are God, we're going to start to beat the snot out of you. No, just joking. Relax. It's a joke. Don't write me a letter for that one. Whenever we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, Holy Spirit come into our heart. The Holy Spirit is God himself. So we walk around with God in our heart. And he is with the church. This church. Building is not church. Body of Jesus Christ. They'll get together. When we get together, that is the church. Now, and also he was dwell with us when we find it in John chapter 1, verse 14. He dwelt among us. that dwelt among us. The word is, you can go back, trace back in Greek word, the tabernacled with us. It also states the essence of God's desire. God's desire is being with the people, having a relationship, close relationship with us. And it is our purpose. What's our purpose? To glorify Him. He wants to be with us, and it is our purpose to be with Him and then glorify Him. New Jerusalem is distinguished by something very different than normal things. If I go to Phoenix, it is known for heat. Also, it is known for capital of the Arizona. If we go to the Washington, D.C., it is known for liar capital of the country. All the politicians there, right? You didn't get it. It's okay. And the murder capital of the nation, because a lot of murder happens there. And also, it's a historical site. It's known for what they have. However, New Jerusalem is known for what it does not have. Do you remember what we just read? It does not have a pain. It doesn't have a tears. It does not have agony. And it does not have a lot of sorrow and crying and pain. All these things are passed away. That is what it is known for. There won't be no abomination. And also, if you notice, we'll find out there is no temple. Every tears of death of your loved one, tears of agonizing things that because your loved one reject you, or tears because you are the victim of the savage criminal, or tears because you are neglected, or tears of sympathy or mercy, whatever the tears you shed, it will be wiped away by God Himself. Whatever the things bothered you before or with somebody else, and you may not be able to, in your own opinion, you may not be able to stand the person and just looking at them. You don't want to be around that person even though both of you are Christian. However, guys, get used to it, because if that person is born again Christian, you are born again Christian, you will spend eternity with that person. You won't have that kind of rejection in your heart, because in heaven there won't be fleshly desires. You will have a heavenly mindset, you have a godly mindset. The believers of Apostle John era, and of course this is the first century time, when they read this epistle, Book of Revelation, I'm sure they rejoiced because this is such a great encouragement. There won't be a pain, there won't be a sorrow, there won't be a death. These people were going through a persecution, literally dying for the name of Jesus Christ. And what an encouragement that be. And throughout the ages, this can be a tremendous encouragement, knowing that there won't be any death, there won't be any pain, there won't be any sorrow in New Jerusalem. Let's continue in verse 5. Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." Underline that, mark it, highlight it. I don't care what you do with it, put the arrow on it. Remember this, please. I make all things new. And he said to me, "Write, for this word are true and faithful." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, in the beginning and the end. I will give," on the line, next phrase, "foundation of the water of life freely to him who thirsts." I asked you on the line the word, "I'll make all things new." This is present tense in Greek word. In other words, I am making all things new. I'm making all things new. He's doing it, and he will do it. This is God's work in redemption and regeneration and renewal. For all of us, it happens to us when we come to know that Jesus Christ is our Savior and Lord. And it's happening to us every day. And the Word says that His mercy is new every morning. And He is renewing our heart toward closer to like Jesus Christ. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Are you awake? Okay, good. If you awake, that's good. If you're snoring, don't make it too loud. You might wake up other people. Verse 17 of chapter 5, 2 Corinthians. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you come to Jesus Christ, you don't need to dwell on the past. Forget about the past because you cannot change anything. However, you can change what's going to happen by following God's way. It is our instinct to wish that Adam, how many of you guys have wished that? I wish Adam didn't disobey God. I wish that Eve didn't disobey God. Wouldn't it be better if we had the innocence in the Garden of Eden, from the Garden of Eden all the way to now? Then we don't have to go through this sin and suffering. It sounds very romantic. However, we are missing out something. You know what we're missing out? Redemption. Yes, we went through the difficult time. Yes, we're going through the sin stage. Yes, we will go through the sin stage. However, we've been redeemed. What we lost, to compare with what we lost, what we're gaining in Christ Jesus cannot be compared. Are you following me? Okay, we were sinners. And we are still sinners, but what we're gaining, going to have in heaven through Jesus Christ is much more than what we have lost. Another important thing is, in New Jerusalem, guess what? Ladies, you'll love this. Everything will stay new. That means you don't have to use oil of lay. There won't be any nip and tuck procedure. And the guys won't walk around with a beer belly, pot belly. Everybody will have a six-pack. That would be nice for me. When God said it is done, that means done. It is eternal purpose in Jesus Christ now accomplished. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. If you're not familiar with the Calvary Chapel, you're wondering, why are these people going through the Bible like this? Well, Bible is a life manual for us. So if you don't read the manual, you're doomed. As a matter of fact, I was sitting next to a friend of mine on the way back to state from Israel. It was a long flight from Tel Aviv, about 10 hours, 12 hours. Yeah, 12 hours. It was a long flight. I was bored of my goal. And he was using this Dell PDA. And he was using to write something instead of writing. He's typing. That takes a long time. So I said, Greg, why don't you learn how to write? They call it graffiti. He said, well, then I have to learn. He was like, yeah. And said, the best way to do it is to read manual. He kind of looked at me, you're out of your mind. I have to read manual. So I asked him, do you read the Bible? He said, yeah. That's a manual for life. If you're willing to read that manual for life, why don't you read the manual for this PDA? Duh. I didn't tell him duh, but I could have. He kind of looked at me like I can just see it, his face, his wheels turning. He's trying to come up with an excuse why he wouldn't have to read the manual. Folks, if you want to live this life fully, abundantly, read this manual. There's no other way around. If you're willing to read other things, if you're willing to read the newspaper, which give you nothing but the bad news, read the book, contains good news. Let's continue in verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 10, chapter 1, verse 10. That in dispensation of fullness and of the times, he might gather together in one all things, in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. Drinking and thirst has a common picture of God's supply and human needs, spiritual needs. In my opinion, when I'm thirsty, there's nothing like fresh, cool water. Do you agree? I love Coca-Cola. However, more than Coca-Cola is fresh cold water is just fine. Now, thirst is human needs. Thirst does not care if you are wearing tuxedo or fancy evening gown, or whether you are rich or poor. You can have a rag, your thirst. You can have a tuxedo or evening gown, your thirst. When you're thirsty, you need to drink water, right? When you drink water, it takes action. It's simply receiving. Let me put it this way. Our thirst for the water is like a spiritual need for our need. We need Jesus Christ. People have this yearning impulse for the spiritual things. That's why there are so many religions. We're trying to fill our void. God made that thing in our heart. We try to fill that void with a human-made religion. It doesn't fit in because it has a particular shape. And no other religion can fit into that particular shape. It's a void. However, when we have the water that comes from the living fountain, comes from Jesus Christ, that fits right in. There's no other way around. You cannot have that quenching thirst. You cannot have that satisfaction in your spiritual life without the Word of God. And Word of God is living water, and it comes from the fountain of living water. Let's go continue in verse 7 of chapter 21 in Revelation. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And but the cowardly, believing, abominable, murderer, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, and which is the second death. The contrast to overcomers we find in Revelation 21:8. It described the people who overcome by the sin, and they didn't trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they will face one thing, the lake of fire. They will be burned in hell, and commonly known as hell. And for now, they think the Christians are losers. Guess who's going to be the ultimate losers? They are the one. Continuing verse 9. Then one of the seven angels who had seven bowls filled with the seven last plague came to me and talked with me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of the heaven from God. Some wonders that this new Jerusalem is not a little place at all. However, from what I read in the Bible, in this book of Revelation, it is a little place. It's known as bride or the Lamb's wife. This is the place where the God's people is going to dwell. Verse 11, having the glory of God, his whole light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone on the line that pleased, clear as crystal. Also, she had a great high wall with the 12 gates, on the line 12 gates, and 12 angels at the gate, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. John is first struck by the awesomeness and the glory of this city, and in this city is sharing the glory of God, because it's been in the presence of God. Jasper can be described as clear as crystal, and it can be described as diamond. And some of the Bible students believe that this is actually diamond. And the wall is not there for defense. Why? Because there is no enemy to attack this city. But it's setting the perimeter. Regardless of the jokes about the heaven, how many of you guys heard about the jokes that St. Peter standing at the pearly gate? We all heard, right? There's all the garbage jokes. Just for your interest, I'll share with you one. There, New York cab driver died and he went to heaven. Of course, guess who was standing at the pearly gate? St. Peter. And the preacher died at the same time he went to the heaven. And he's right behind this New York cab driver. And he had that funny looking hat and with a stocky beer belly and standing in front of St. Peter. St. Peter said, well, okay, you did this, and now you can go up to that mansion on the hilltop and go on. So this New York cab driver was glad that he got the mansion on the hilltop, so he wasn't running ahead. And preacher's thinking, wow. If the New York cab driver with a filthy mouth, he was thinking stereotype of New York cab driver, and with that kind of attitude, if he got the mansion on the hilltop, I will have a gigantic castle in the hilltop. And he stood right in front of St. Peter, and Peter said, well, see that shack on the bottom of the valley? He said, yeah, that's yours. He said, wait a minute, time out, St. Peter, something is wrong. I think your log sheet is kind of backward. How come the New York cab driver got the mansion on the hilltop, I got the little shack on the valley? He said, well, while the New York cab driver is driving, people were praying. While you're preaching, people were sleeping. I don't want you guys to sleep on me, okay? So, a lot of people think that heaven is made, your first person you will see at the pearly gate is St. Peter. It's not. It's the angels. And each gate has a name of Israel, the tribes. 12 tribes. Gentiles, as a Gentiles, we didn't have a chance. We didn't have a covenant with God. But through Israeli people, through Lion of Judah, Lamb of God, we have that covenant. We are grafted into the tree of olive of faith. So we have depth throughout eternity to this Jewish people. By the way, in my heart, God spoke to me in my heart while I was in Jerusalem. We are going to work with Calvary Chapel of Jerusalem and for the missions. Well, what do you know? I didn't talk with our mission director, Barry Smith, over there, but that just came into my heart. Verse 11 of chapter 11 of the book of Romans, please. Romans 11:17. Romans is located right before the Corinthians, right after the book of Acts and New Testament. Romans 11:17. Remember some of you guys, when I came back from the missions conference last year, we decided we're going to put the 25% of our budget into the mission fund, right? Actually, we are doing more than 25%. We're hitting about 30% a month end up in the missions fund. I think it's going to go more than 30% we're helping the Calvary Chapel of Jerusalem. 17 of chapter 11, book of Romans, it says, and if some of the branches are broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root of and the fatness of the olive tree. This is the root is the Jewish people, and we are grafted into the olive tree of faith. Let's go back to the chapter 21 of Revelation, verse 14. And the wall of the city have 12 foundations, and on them were the names of 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had the gold reed to measure the city, its gate, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square, its length and as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlong, its length and breadth and height are equal. And he measured the wall, its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of the man, that is, of angel. Foundation of the eternal testimony of the apostles and permanent place in God's plan. Let's go to the Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians, right after Galatians, right before Philippians in the New Testament. This is a very important portion for you to read. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. Are you there? Having been built on the foundation of apostles, now we find that this is backed up in the New Jerusalem. Each foundation, 12 foundation, has the names of apostles. And the prophets, Jesus Christ himself, being a chief cornerstone. Because Abraham looked to the city with the foundation, and he understood that what he longed for would not be found on earth. And he believed in his heart, by faith, he will dwell in the city permanently, eternally, that is built by the God himself. Builder and the architect is Jesus Christ himself. Let's go to chapter 11 of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews is located right before the James in the New Testament. Hebrews 11:10. It reads, "For he waited for the city, he is Abraham, for the city which has a foundation, whose builder and maker is God." So we read, let's go back, this New Jerusalem has a width and the length and the height is all same, equal. It's a cubic. Ancient world, the cubic has a symbol of a perfection. And the most holy place in the Old Testament, tabernacle and the temple, is a cubic in design. Its symmetrical measurement of the cubic is about so vast, it's 1,200 foot long. What is 1,200 foot long? It's about equivalent to 1,500 miles. How far is that? From Sarita right here to the Atlanta, Georgia. Anybody from Georgia? It's that far. If you draw the line straight forward, it's 1,500 miles. That's width and length and height. Some people say it can be pyramid, but I'd rather believe it's a cubic. Because, as I said, in the ancient world, a cubic is considered as perfection. Okay. Let's say there were 100 billion people in human race throughout the entire human history, 100 billion people. Let's say, let's be generous, 20% of that people, 20 billion people are born again Christian. If we take a place in that 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles and 1,500 miles tall, that New Jerusalem, if we reside in that place, guess what kind of space we can have? About 1,200 square feet or 2,000 square feet? Guess what? We have a realtor here, so you know how big that can be. It's about 75 acres per person. Do you think you can hang around with the 75 acres? Even the ranchers who can survive with 75 acres. What do you think, Mark? Mark Laus? 75 is a good acres? A lot of acres. So that can be called as on your own. This is a big place. All right. Another thing that we've just read, 144 cubit, is that according to my measurement, it's about 200 feet wide. That's the wall of the New Jerusalem. Let's continue in verse 18. The construction of its walls was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like a clear glass. The foundation of the wall of the city was adorned with all kinds of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, and second, sapphire, and third, chalcedony, and fourth, emerald, and fifth, sardonyx, and sixth, sardius. You ladies following so far? Do you know what kind of jewels this is? I have no idea. The seventh, chrysolite, and eighth, beryl, and seventh, topaz, tenth, chrysoprase, and 10th, jacinth, and 12th, amethyst. You know, I don't know anything about jewels or jewelries. It sounds very nice, as far as I can tell you. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was one pearl. And the street of the gold street of the city was a pure gold like a transparent glass. When we read the jasper and pure gold and all kinds of this precious stone, we should take it as a literal representation, not some sort of allegorical way. It's a literal. By looking at this foundation, this place will make the New York Tiffany Company look like a nothing. My daughter, she didn't know I'm going to say about this, but my daughter works at the jewelry store. The reason why she got that job is so she can play with a diamond all day long. If you want to know about her, then she's over there, so you can talk to her. Anyway, you know, when I go to the jewelry store, that I say, well, that's nice. And I walk away. But I don't think I'm going to walk away from this place with this kind of description. Paul represented God's people. How do I know? In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus described, and he's giving parable. He said, when a person loses his pearl, he will do anything to go find his pearl. Some of you guys knows this. Pearl is made by what? Oyster. How does it start? When the sand goes into the oyster, it irritates the muscle. So it's coated with a knocker. And it coated and coated and coated and coated, become precious jewel. Guess what, guys? That sand is like us. We irritate God with our awful sins. But he robes us. He coated us with his grace, with his love. So that we become his jewel. We become his apple in his eyes. God loves you so much. Nothing can separate us from God. He has love for us. He's inviting you to come to him again and again. This size crowd, and I'm sure there will be somebody who does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Why would you like to refuse his loving hands? Not tomorrow, but today is the day for your salvation. We'll continue this. In verse 22, and I saw no temple in it, and for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are in its temple. The city has no need of sun, no moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminates it. The Lamb is its light. And the nation of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nation into it. But they shall by no means enter in anything that defile, of course, or the causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Before Jesus, the temple was a prophecy, and the